see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows, and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating. Can you keep up?
I like love it. Well, it's that time of year. 82% humidity and the 90-degree air, hordes of shrieking cicadas roaming the eastern seaboard. The dawning realization that you waited a little too long to reinstall your window AC unit, and of course, the return of The Bachelorette.
But this time with 100% less Chris Harrison and 100% more forced references to sex toys. That's right, it's Katie Thurston's season premiere, baby, and we cannot wait to dig into this beautiful episode with our wonderful guest, who we will introduce in just a minute, because we got some news to go over first.
Yeah, we're going to do a little quick news break here at the top. And the big news that simply cannot be ignored is that Chris Harrison is apparently officially out. Deadline is reporting it as a pretty final thing. They're negotiating his exit. The Deadline headline must be called out here. Chris Harrison exits Bachelor franchise. Rose withers on 19-year run as host after racism controversy.
I mean,
what a journey
that is. Look, like, and people make fun of digital journalism headlines, but this one, like, that editor put in their work, and I appreciate it.
They hit on everything, you know, every element that needed to be in this headline. So the news that started coming out first was last week. That Chris Harrison, as we knew, was going to be absent from Katie's season, but that he would also not be hosting Michelle's season. There were rumors that David Spade would be hosting it, the comedian. Then it turned out that he would just be one of a number of rotating celeb hosts who would be taking care of Chris Harrison's duties during Michelle's season.
I thought that was Paradise.
Or Paradise, excuse me. I can't get used to there being multiple Bachelorette seasons.
I know.
And
it's
Paradise.
Very
There's
confusing.
So
There's
much.
Too much content, Claire.
There's too much for me.
You can be forgiven for
my brain
for
has not evolved for this many Bachelor seasons. So that was the initial news. And to me, this sort of read as like they're holding space for Chris, right? If they replace him with a single professional host or someone like Tayshia, a single host who could be perceived as having some ownership over that role, it would be harder to pass the baton back to Chris in the future. You have a like David Spade trading off with like Ashton Kutcher or whoever, then you can easily be like, well, that was just a weird thing we did. Here's Chris Harrison. But then it began to come out that Chris was negotiating a financially beneficial exit with the Bachelor team.
Which frankly makes sense. I don't think that there was a way that he would exit without there being some sort of settlement. I mean, frankly, I would assume that they want him to sign a pretty ironclad NDA for the benefit of everyone.
For us. I would like to know everything.
Except for us. I would like Chris to go rogue and spill the dirt. And yet also I never want to hear from Chris again. So there's like I'm feeling very conflicted on that. But essentially, like, I think that we need to give credit to the Bachelor fans and Bachelor alums who used their platforms and made their voices heard and really registered their upset and their displeasure and their desire to see this, you know, franchise make some amount of change. And I think as we saw last night, like, this show is a well-oiled machine. You do not need Chris Harrison. You do not need really, like, any single specific host. Like, they could, I think, continue kind of having people fill in a different person or people every season and it would be fine because the show and its structure kind of exist with or without a host to guide it.
That's interesting because I do see the value of someone like Chris to the show that it's had this really long run. What is the thing tying it together? What is the one, you know, character that keeps coming back every season? There's something about having that I think is comforting for viewers.
I agree.
And so I would be sort of surprised if they went with an ongoing rotation because I think giving a new person for people to really latch onto in that way, people got
would
very attached to Chris. And I think a lot of people are very, very upset that he's gone. Not me, just to be clear. But I do think that he became the person that you got to form that familiarity with over the years that provides like an attachment point for viewers to continue following a show over the course of many decades. And I think that if I were them, I would be looking to recreate that.
It would be wisest to find a new person or like duo to fill that role permanently. I more mean that it's clear that there was sort of a false sense that the train couldn't run without Chris Harrison conducting. And that has very quickly been proven to not be the case. Like, I think that no one is indispensable. And also Chris's role, frankly, at the beginning of the show held more weight than it does now. Like, I still think that it's a comfort. I still think that it's nice to have a guide that kind of stays season to season. But at the beginning of the show, you know, and we've, I think, praised Chris for the job he did of this, is like Chris was there to literally explain what The Bachelor was back in 2002 when it launched. Like, he was the voice that defined the goals of the show and defined the bounds of it and defined the structure of it because people weren't familiar with those things. And I think now that host role has evolved just in the sense that The Bachelor is such like an enduring piece of pop culture. And people are sort of familiar with its ethos, even if they haven't been, you know, tuning in for 19 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to briefly revisit the question of his negotiated exit because the Deadline article notes that the idea has been leaked that Harrison's lawyer threatened to, you know, file a lawsuit that would expose a, quote, swath of The Bachelor's alleged dirty laundry. Now, all I'm saying is,
do it.
What a beautiful final act that would be for Chris to do something good for the viewers who have felt troubled by the show's, you know, structural issues of racism and misogyny and who want to know more about the dirty laundry.
Yet I suspect that the threat is most useful to Chris because he can extract money via that.
That is only useful to him because he can extract money. But I nevertheless dream of a different world. And also just wanted to call out all of the alums from the most recent seasons of The Bachelorette and The Bachelor who really, you know, stepped forward and took a stand together early on, two of the most diverse seasons in the show's history. And I think that that clearly turned the tide and made a big difference in this result. And I, for one, am thrilled. So.
Yeah, thanks to people like Ivan, who kind of just came out and said, yeah, I don't want to be on this show. I don't want to be on Paradise if Chris is going to be the host. I don't feel safe in that environment. And I think that that was really, really important to have those voices. Katie also tweeted something sort of definitively stating that implying that her season would not include Chris, which there have been rumors that that was not necessarily fully like greenlit by WB before she tweeted that. So yeah, I think it's important that people within the franchise structure are also kind of speaking up. And I guess the hope is like, look, it's, I think as we've discussed many times, like our goal with talking about Chris is that it was clear he wasn't really equipped to do the job anymore in the way that it needs to be done. And that is why we felt like he should no longer have that job. But the problems with the show obviously extend far beyond Chris. And I hope that those voices kind of continue to call for a bigger restructuring and for a rethinking of what the entire team, you know, behind the camera looks like, so that we don't have another generation of, you know, people of color who come on the show and feel unseen, unheard, and unrepresented.
Yeah. And let's switch to something a little bit lighter to segue us out of news. Who's dating whom this week, right? Piper is reportedly dating Brendan from Tayshia and Claire's season. So I just want everyone to hold the image of Piper in your mind and the image of Brendan.
Just two, like, extremely beautiful people.
Beautiful, as far as I can tell, inside and out. How well Agreed. Do I know their insides? As well as you can, you know, with the information that I have
I've
from
seen
television.
Their Instagrams. I know everything.
I've watched Piper's curly hair tutorials. They seem lovely, and they're definitely extremely hot, and... What else do we care about in the world than hot, nice people?
Literally nothing. Just
nothing.
Give me more of that, okay? All like, this is why I'm excited for Paradise. I want to see hot, nice people get together, and also some hot, less nice people get together.
Exactly. And I think that does it for Bachelor news this week. And maybe let's move on into the recap.
So now it's time for us to get into the recap and introduce our wonderful guest. This is actually a little bit of a redo for us. The last time we tried to have this particular guest on, we literally lost our jobs 45 minutes after we finished taping, and the episode never aired. The raw audio is out there somewhere just like haunting us.
Yeah, it was tragic, but it's a new day. It's a new Bachelorette season. Given our poor track record with this, we are so glad that the wonderfully talented and clever Molly Bernard, who you might know from shows like Younger and movies like Milkwater, agreed to join us today. Welcome, Molly.
Hello, you guys. Thank you for having me. It's nice to be back.
Yes. Oh, feels like the first time.
It does.
Or the second.
I basically like blacked out that day. Like my enduring memory is that like right after we got the email that we were being laid off, Molly, you and your wonderful partner, Hannah, FaceTimed me to be like, wow, that was so fun. And I was just like crying.
So let me just tell you quickly my version. This is going to be silly. I FaceTimed you because I was like, this is so fun. And I love that you British pronounced my last name, which is Bernard, but you called me Bernard. And I was like, I thought it was so funny. And I was like, I had to tell you. And then you pick up your FaceTime, you're sobbing, and you go, did you see the news? Is this why you're calling? And I was like, what?
You were like, no.
No, are you okay? And you were like, we were just laid off. I just got this email. Everyone. And it took me like a long time to understand what was going on.
I was very flustered.
I'm like, what luck? I feel like I wish Henry had been there to lick the tears off your face.
I know.
Henry's my dog.
Yeah. Henry is Molly's dog who has in fact physically licked my tears off of my face one time when I also in serendipitous timing got broken up with literally as I was entering Molly's apartment for a Friendsgiving dinner. So there's just a lot of tragedy in my life personally that happens surrounding poor Molly. So.
No, it's beshert because I feel like I understand, you know, some sorrows and I'm like yeah. there. To...
And you know, look, like that breakup, our layoff was also perhaps a blessing in disguise. So we soldier on and we are having you back in this new version of our show.
And now we finally know to introduce you as Molly Bernard.
Slash always keep that British pronunciation. And I'll like get off of this podcast feeling like, well, aren't I fun and fancy?
You are fun and fancy.
Well, what we learned from this premiere is that imitating a British accent is always a good idea. It's romantic and fun and people love it.
People do.
It works, which is why we've brought that into our ethos. So yeah, let's get into this premiere, which overall, I thought it was a pretty fun time. I mean, Katie's back. She's sex positive. She
Do we know anything
bullies.
Else about her? What we does did, she do for a living? We don't know.
We did learn a few more things about her, like that her parents got divorced when she was a baby. Which, like, again, I was like, wow, we knew nothing about her before. And now I guess we're going to increasingly learn more.
I felt that within the first 3 minutes, like when she was talking about herself, we learned more about her than we ever did about Matt.
100% accurate.
And I was furious because, you know, something that we talked about last time we tried to do this was that the Matt season was the first time I had ever watched The Bachelor. And I didn't understand, like, the format or the structure. And I was so upset by the season at how little we knew about Matt James. And it just confirmed my rage because right away we know so much more about Katie. It's so empathetic. It's so compassionate towards her. It's just such a drag.
Right. And that's what we should have every season, presumably. Like, you're centering this character. And that's definitely something that we, I think, all were frustrated with Matt's season. And I hope that, you know, we go more with this tone heading into Michelle's season of The Bachelorette, which will air in the fall.
It's interesting. With Matt's season, it was unusual because he hadn't been a contestant. So there was no canonical familiarity with it. Like, maybe you follow him on Instagram or you purchased a cameo from Matt James. But, like, you didn't know Matt from previous seasons in the way that you pretty much always know the lead in the modern history of this franchise. And Katie, we do know, but we didn't get to know her in the way that you usually get to know a lead. We didn't really know what she did for a living or her family background because she didn't make it to the final four. And she wasn't really the kind of contestant who has sit downs with Matt that where she would divulge a traumatic secret about her past. You know, when they talked, it was all just like, I'm confident and sex positive and ready to fall in love. And when she was with the women, it was all drama and fighting and bullying. So we didn't know those biographical things about her that we often do about a Final Four contestant who typically ends up being the new lead. So we do get some of that here. I still felt like they were leaning really hard on, like, this is our sex-positive, sassy bachelorette. Like, the promo was all, like, winkies and, like, I'm being really saucy. But also, oh, my God, it's so awkward being a model. Like, this pose is so awkward. Like, very, like, just every gal, girl next door who also loves vibrators. And that's yeah, still like the predominant thing.
They're like, this is the one fun fact you know about Katie, And therefore, we're going to really like hammer it home to the point where it's like no longer entertaining at all, which frankly is like what this show likes to do. Something that I also that we did learn is that she said that she grew up pretty poor as a kid, which is felt notable to me, given that like the majority of people who are on this show come from like fairly wealthy backgrounds. As we see with the like many large suburban estates that we visit when they were, you know, able to leave a resort and do hometown dates, there's always sort of like an underlying class thing. And so I thought that was felt notable.
Yeah, that's an unusual thing in Bachelor World. And she also noted that she changed schools a lot as an elementary schooler. She struggled to make friends with her past boyfriends. She didn't really feel like she could be herself with them. I do get this sense a little bit from Katie that like there is some sense in the way she carries herself that she's like, I'm me, I'm going to be confident in that. But it takes a little bit of effort to fit in socially and to feel comfortable socially. She doesn't hide that or have this like perfectly polished, like social goddess exterior, like a lot of bachelorettes do. And so I kind of enjoy that. It's a little relatable, but it makes her have a very not bachelorette-y vibe to me. Like, she just doesn't seem like the natural choice because of that, because usually the bachelorette is just so just, like, made in a lab to be a hostess or something. So we get this intro to Katie, and she's getting ready for night one. The guys are going to come. How can she do this alone? She doesn't think there's going to be a host, I guess. She's just going to just hang out with all these guys without a chaperone.
This journey, okay?
I mean, it made me think, like, listen, I'm on television, not reality TV, but what was her briefing for this? Like, was she just like, okay, so then some guy in a mask is going to come out and be like, 5 seconds until the boys are here, go stand over there. And like, who told her? Like, I'm just wondering what the speech was that involved, okay, so we'll just have the producer shout out to you 5 seconds down, and then they'll come out and now act surprised. Okay, and then now tell us how you're feeling. And yeah, just look right to the camera and tell us how you're feeling.
Yeah, I'm sure it was exactly like that. That sounds accurate.
And then how could they have not, they must have said that someone will pop in and surprise you as a like loose guide.
I'm sure she knew that like maybe someone would be showing up, but I guess.
Because she did seem genuinely surprised.
She seemed really surprised to me.
She did. She almost started like tearing up when Caitlin and Tayshia arrived.
She was so alone. It was just going to be her with all of the men. Who was going to look after her?
That's a nightmare.
It's awful. There's a moment when she's in a black satin robe and she's getting her hair and makeup ready. And she's saying, like, it's happening tonight. The men are coming tonight. And I was like, this sounds like an impending crime. Yeah, like those are a set of sentences that very rarely sound positive. You know, it's like, do you want the men to come tonight? Are they going to like spirit you into a van? Like, but she's trying to be excited, but she's clearly a little bit like, a lot of men are coming. It's just me.
Yeah, look, the reality of being defenses. A woman is that when they're like 30 bros are about to like try to hang out with you, you're like, that's not necessarily a good thing. That's like kind of horrifying.
Heterosexuality is this perpetual prison between horror and romance where you're just like, am I thrilled or am I terrified?
I dated men for a long time and think, God, I'm marrying a woman, because I'm like, I'm watching and listening to you guys talk about this. And I saw that moment as well, her like in the robe saying the men are coming. They're, oh, you know, and I was like, this is the seventh dimension of hell for me. And it would have been the ninth dimension of hell if Chris Harrison had still been hosting, because then it's all men, only men.
Yes. And then
she's alone on her island.
Yeah.
This is something that I think I like didn't register really before, because again, Chris Harrison was just sort of a constant, and it was just a given that he was going to be there. And then we have these two women who show up, and I was like, oh, this energy is so refreshing. This is so much better. These are two women who have literally been in her position before. They're both like, just have really like positive, delightful energy. I was like, this is so much more fun for Katie than having to pretend to like relate to this, you know, almost 50-year-old, yeah, like conservative like, white dude from Texas.
You're 30 years old. You're a 30-year-old young woman, bank marketing manager and influencer on TikTok or whatever Katie is. And you're like, I'm going to have some dates with some guys, and then I'm going to sit down with my confidant, a 50-year-old straight man I've never met before, and I'm going to talk through my feelings. Or are you going to sit down with your peer age girlfriends and actually have an honest conversation? It's crazy that we've never had that dynamic on the show before.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. I love everything about Matt James this season, even though it was such a disaster. I love that I came into The Bachelor during its renaissance. And
oh, yes.
It's like kind of, you know, its reification. I think that's very, very exciting. Because already this episode was so refreshing in terms of, it was so, it's like Katie's fine. Katie really, I think, is fine, and she's cute, but she's already not, she's nothing like the other girls, and she wasn't even last season. She was very different, and I like that she's a little awkward, but the absence of Chris Harrison is so welcome. All season I kept saying to Hannah, like, what, how is this guy the host? Like, he contributed to part of Matt James's tokenization and his unrelatability, mm-hmm, because he was uncurious about him. He was, you know, the format took precedence over everything. And it felt like last season they just kept trying to fit Matt into a format that is not made for Matt James.
No, I think that that's really true. And I think that it's exciting to kind of see. It's amazing how even the smallest changes within the Bachelor format feel large. Like, it's still taking all of the same structures, essentially. But just having these two women instead of this dude, like, really does make it feel different. And makes that first night, like, it felt like they could have, like, a conspiratorial chat. And these two women, like, the whole time the guys were coming out of the limos, Tayshia and Caitlin are, like, watching, being like, oh, she thinks he's hot. Yeah, she's into it. Great. Yeah.
I'm like, a thumbs up, double thumbs up, a hump.
Yeah, imagine her glancing back at Chris Harrison being like, and Chris is like, oh, I love him for her. He's so hot for her. That's amazing. Like, absolutely a dynamic you had never seen with Chris on the show. And
I think it's the best thing
so
to have happened to The Bachelor.
I agree. I'm so here for it. I'm so into it. And yeah, I think so far, Caitlin and Tayshia get an A+.
Plus, they just like blow in and like surprise her and immediately are just like, oh my God, you're stunning. You're like a desert goddess, a desert gem. And like, again, Chris would be like, well, you look radiant or something. Like, are you ready to meet the men? And the men are an afterthought with Tayshia and Caitlin. They're just like, oh my God,
like,
you're the hottest
hot
thing on
you're
two legs.
You're so hot. You're amazing. Like, we're going to gas you up. I think I said this to you last night, Claire. I was like, there's some like really intense like women giving other women hair ties in the bathroom line energy of just like, I'm here for you, girl. I've got you. Whatever you need. Like, we don't know each other that well, but we will. We are lifelong friends now. And I'm here for that.
I am so here for that. And the radical shift in energy is, it's like a light, it's likened to, first of all, I think it's the reason why it feels like such a huge shift, even though it's actually not, is because the show's structure is inherently oppressively patriarchal. And it's like, it's, you know, it's mimicking what exists in society and in American like Anglo life. But also, I've likened it to like, it feels like when I dated men for most of my life, and then I met Hannah, and I was like, oh my God, I'm in a supportive, like, joyful relationship for the first time in my life. Sometimes if I don't have a tampon, my partner and like soulmate has one. And it's like, and she's like, yes, oh, you have cramps? Let me get you some Advil. Do you want a back rub? Okay, what about a hot bath? And it's like, wow, she gets it. And the joy in female, not just friendships and camaraderie, but relationships,
yeah,
is so apparent that this season is already more like, it's effervescent in this way.
Yeah, there's a female intimacy there that has been completely lacking, except from Bachelor in Paradise occasionally. But the point about the patriarchal symbolism of Chris is funny, because when he was cast, he was so young. He was like a peer of the first Bachelor. So he was kind of in the role to the first Bachelor that Tayshia and Caitlin are, which is like your friend who's like guiding you, but also just like a listening ear, like a confidant, a buddy, a wingman. And he's become sort of on The Bachelorette. He has the vibe of like the father walking you down the aisle to give you away to your husband. Because that is sort of the role, is like you're not out at a club with your girlfriends looking for a man. You're like, your father is overseeing your courtship to
creepy.
No, it's so upsetting. Anyway, enough about that. Let's talk about some of the men.
Let's talk about the fact that Katie is one of the first bachelorettes to wear a brightly colored dress on red. Night one. She comes out in a red lace gown.
I wonder if they really wanted her to stand out more because there would be other women wearing dresses on camera.
I did note that they put Caitlin and Tayshia in like very, very simple, like black shift dresses.
Like bodycon shift dresses.
They looked hot, but they were very much like, it's like, is the Bachelor, it was the Bachelorette version of like stage crew. They're like, yeah. you work this event.
Oh my gosh, Emma, that's funny.
I think that's true. And then I wonder if a part of them was like, red is the color that pops the most. And a woman, if you're the only woman in a champagne gold gown against all the tuxes, that's one thing, but maybe maybe Katie was just like, I'm different. And
she also might have, I mean, the leads definitely do get like some say also in the fashion.
The bachelorettes, so, well, I guess usually, we'll never know. Bachelorettes are usually in muted dresses when they meet all of their suitors.
Like a metallic or pale color, like a pale pink or
like a neutral metallic.
Yes, often it's a neutral metallic or white. Sometimes it'll be white, very bridal.
I think Rachel Lindsay wore like a really gorgeous white gown that really popped on her. But
yeah, there's a very standard look for it that's like bridesmaid in a really glamorous wedding. And we also get some of these. So they're at the Hyatt Regency Tamaya Resort and Spa in New Mexico, which is a wonderful place. It fosters love through like the scenery and the mountains and also the amenities.
Look, I love New Mexico, so I am like on board with this whole season being in New Mexico.
They like barely begun the season before they had a guy being like, this specific resort is the perfect place to fall in love.
I know. They love that construction. They're like, no other resort would be the place to fall in love. But the Hyatt Regency, Tamaya, is in fact the most romantic place on earth.
I have to say it looks a lot better than last season's place.
Yeah. I think that they did a better job going somewhere where they would be less completely exposed to the relentless rays of the summer sun.
That was so
because they filmed it like in the summer in the desert last season.
And was the Dale season also in the pandemic, or is that just before?
Yeah, so the Claire and Tayshia, that was the one in that they were in Palm Springs in the middle of the summer, so that's why like there were very few options for dates because it was too hot to like do that much.
Yeah. So we meet some of the guys through these video packages. Connor C., the musician and math teacher, who has very, 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 very strong theater kid energy to me. Carl, the motivational speaker, who gets to experience an amazing lifestyle, aside from the missing component of a relationship, something to add to that portfolio you got. And he made some fan art of him with Katie. Is this going to be a thing?
I don't know. There were a lot of gifts being presented by these men. They're really trying to stand out. We also meet Brendan, the Canadian firefighter, who obviously, being from Canada, he, you know, used to play hockey.
He almost, like all Canadians, he could have played hockey in college.
Also, his intro, he was like, I was kind of like, not interested. But then they showed him in his fireman outfit, like in his fireman picture. And I was like, I screamed to Hannah. I was like, look at this hot fireman. And I was like, he's not hot when he's talking and when they, like, he's in his live action moments. But this hot fireman pic is extremely, extremely hot.
It's interesting because, like, the uniform thing usually doesn't do it for me. But he did look better in uniform. I was like, this man should probably always be dressed in his fire outfit.
We're all just sexually attracted to being rescued from fires. And that's an evolutionary thing, I think. We're all just like, oh, my God, being rescued from a fire. Do whatever you want to me.
Yeah, I mean, I, too, don't want to burn to my death. So.
Exactly. Next is Andrew, the Austrian Football League player who is wearing a sort of burnt umber or ochre mock neck. And
he's 26, right?
He's 26. Yes. There are a lot of 26
which is the average age, that like the majority of them are 26.
Age. He's so cute, but he's too young. I can't. A lot I was of like, them. Go. You need to go date someone your own age, and 26 is too young to get married, honey.
I don't know. I think that he seems ready to settle down in a bi-continental relationship with Katie, half the year in Austria, half in Chicago.
Look, he just needs a partner who will support his use of a mediocre British accent. That's what he
was like. I want to make Katie laugh, so here I am speaking in a British accent for way too long, not really making any jokes, and I guess that's what does it for some people.
He's like, if I just kind of channel Bridgerton.
He seems very sweet, but I was like, you need to lean less heavily on the accent because it's not going to take you as far as you seem to think.
He's like, no. This works for me. He's like, I've done it before in bars. It works. I'm leaning into the bit. But he does have like a very kind face.
He does. He's really cute. I would trust him. Really cute. I would trust him to like come to my house and help me hang some stuff up. And then, like, hang out in the backyard after.
Yeah.
And I'd ask him. I'd be like, "How's it going? Who are you dating? Do you like them? What's going on, honey?"
Mike got drafted as a baseball player at 19, but he was humbled by sports, presumably because he was not very good at them. That's sort of left unclear. He's waiting for marriage because of his faith, in case you're in any doubt about that. He has the largest cross necklace I've ever seen hanging around his neck at all times.
And the producers love it. The producers are like, zoom in, tighter.
They're like, catch the light. They're like,
give this man a Bible. Yeah. If the people are confused, they will no longer be confused. Katie loves sex. Mike never had sex. Whoa.
31? 31 and never had sex.
It's a long time.
It's a while. I mean,
listen.
Live your truth.
We all make our own decisions, but I have to say, he's like, I love that Katie's sex positive. That's great for her, but like maybe we could just like not have sex together. And I was like, what do you think sex positivity probably means in her life and practice?
Yeah, like, also she like explicitly said, I need a partner who, like, sex is an important part of relationships for me, and also I need a partner who's, like, very comfortable talking about sex. So I was like, well, we'll see how this goes. We later saw many promos of him crying, so.
Yeah. As someone who's been through this, waiting to have sex for religious reasons is very unlikely to transition smoothly into having a very open and enthusiastic relationship towards sex in your life. It's a bit rocky after you've attached that much shame and prohibition to it to suddenly become very sex positive.
Next, after Mike, we meet Justin, who is an artist. He's from Baltimore. He is painting roses. The symbolism is, it's rather obvious, but a classic choice.
I was predicting that he was going to paint, before this episode aired, that he was going to paint Katie with her butt kind of turning into a bunch of beautiful roses. And at this moment, I was like, it's happening. It's happening just like I predicted. It turns out that's not what he's painting.
I maintain that he could
and he would.
The only but is that I think he's actually a really good artist.
Thank God he can actually paint.
He's very technically gifted. I don't know if I think it's like good art in like the bigger sense, but like technically speaking, he's very like he would just make a rose happen in a way that like was very confusing to me.
Look, he has some skills. That's been established.
And he's not afraid to say that he has good hands because he's an artist. And, you know, maybe he can use them on Katie in some sort of sexual way.
Interesting.
Trey plays harmonica. He reads Latin. He likes classical and rap music. This guy is well-rounded. His parents are still married, and he is obsessed with them. He is very sensitive because his mom would make him talk about his feelings every day after school. Love that. Love the results.
Really love that.
Definitely want to try this with Max.
Claire, take notes.
He loves women who are confident enough not to hide things from men. Not sure what that means.
What does that mean?
Most women, I guess, are just hiding things from men. and Greg is the youngest of four. He is from New Jersey, I believe.
But he says New York. I wonder if he's from New Jersey, but he lives in the city now.
And he's like, all of my siblings are just having kids left and right, just like pew, 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 popping them out.
He's like, so I got to get on that.
I got to get on that.
With Katie.
Yeah, so let me hop on this national television reality show.
And find a wife.
It's really hard for a handsome 28-year-old guy in the New York City metro area.
Yeah, notoriously.
To find a woman who is willing to have a serious relationship leading to marriage and children.
Yeah, just notoriously, men who are attractive in New York City, just it's really hard for them.
They have a lack of options.
Yeah.
And on that note, before the journey actually begins, I think we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more on Katie's premiere episode.
If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or former Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And now, back to the show.
So, Katie, at this point, and the episode is waiting on a nice little platform in front of the hotel. This is when she meets Tayshia and Caitlin. She asks for some advice. They're like, don't pick your guy night one, which has different resonance for Caitlin, who did, and it was a bad decision, and Tayshia, who didn't, and ended up making a decision she still seems happy with. And she's like, I just need a grown-ass man, a 26-year-old... or a virgin.
Yeah, 26-year-old virgin. But yeah, we get to the limo entrances pretty quickly, which I thought was great. Not, you know, too much dilly-dallying. And first out of the limo is Thomas, who is wearing a blue brocade tux. And he is like a pretty normal entrance.
Yeah, sorry. My notes for these get to be really bad. My note for him was he praises her vulnerability and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, that's
how they all kind of hit me. They all come out and they're like, I'm so nervous, but I love what a strong, confident woman you are and that you're so brave to do this. And it all just kind of like turns into a mishmash of
affirmations. Should we just kind of talk through some of the standouts? I feel like we don't need to, to go through all of them.
Because most of them I just have pretty... like, Justin comes out in a blue suit.
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. David is also there, and he's wearing navy. Like, look, we don't even really know their names yet.
Yes,
it's fine.
Yes. Most of them, their names are irrelevant to me.
Yeah, that's why my notes are like rock guy, skin salesman guy. Like, that's how I address them.
Yeah.
But Katie seems pretty, like, into it. She keeps being like, they're all 10s. These guys are hot. Two thumbs up. I mean,
again,
that was the part that I enjoyed.
She has that she's all that energy of like, she's obviously beautiful. She keeps being like, I'm very confident. But I do think there's an element of her like bearing that's sort of like, I'm not like the hot girl that like poses in model photos and dates perfect 10s. And so she has that sort of like, me, who's here with all of these.
She's like a little bit of a weirdo and a little bit of a tryhard, which again, like I enjoy.
Yeah.
Because it is like a different sort of energy. And I like that she's like, oh my God. Yeah. All these dudes, they want to date me.
Exactly. Little old me. Like, all right. Okay.
Claire, I love that she's all that energy. I completely agree. It's kind of, it's like fun and also uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Nailed
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And Were there any guys whose entrances stood out to either of you?
Connor B. Doi.
Is he the one who's the cat?
Yeah, he's cat.
Cat guy.
Okay, cat guy. I mixed up which one.
He's Angelical Cats.
So, yes. Oh, there were a lot of really good cats, you know, bachelorette combo Twitter jokes last night that I was really enjoying. He really committed. He didn't just like show up in a cat costume. He was like, I've got the whiskers. I will be like licking my paws. Mm-hmm. I will be turning around and like pawing at windows. Like he was I'm committed to the performance. I'm a method actor.
Feline energy. He studied up on his cat puns. He knew all of his lines. I mean, that was some excellent memorization and some recall.
And he's like, I really hope that you would want to ask me out.
Yes.
And
honestly,
Katie,
that was good.
I was like, I love when there's a little bit of idiosyncrasy to who is picked in these. Because you can imagine that the standard bachelorette that you would get would be like, okay, you're wearing a cat costume and making a bunch of puns. Even if they had a cat, like, it's not like a sexy thing to dress up as a cat and make a cat pun.
But for Katie,
it is.
For quirky Katie,
Katie is so into it.
She gave them a double thumbs up. Yeah.
Like, you could imagine if she, like, had a cat and she was like, oh, good job, like, nice one. But to literally be like, he is the person I am most sexually into now because of that, I've never seen anything like that on this show.
I loved it. I feel like Greg felt notable, not because his entrance was notable, but because he got the sort of, like, music cues and the time that felt like it was, like, real front runner energy to me. They were like, this guy is going to stick around. And he did get the first impression rose. So I feel like maybe that was clearly hinting at that. But usually with the women, if you get the first impression rose, you make it pretty far.
You guys, Hannah and I are doing the Fantasy League's bachelorette thing.
Oh, who have you ranked in your top seeds?
Greg is number one. He's our first pick.
Oh, good.
But we did it before watching anything. We did it a few days ago.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. So you had the right... No, so you had the good instincts.
Yeah, but only with Greg. I think everyone else went home.
Well, maybe if you got one winner, that could
take you to the end.
I liked Michael's entrance. He comes out with a gift that he puts in her hands, and he says,
"This
is a watch. It's been in my family for 200 years. It's an heirloom, so don't lose it." She looks aghast. But this is like kind of a move that happens on this show where they give the lead something that's actually kind of precious to them to create a link. And so you can see her being like, it's happening to me and now I have to like be responsible for this. And he's like, I'm kidding. I got it at the airport. I'm not a creep. And I
loved that.
I was so relieved on her behalf that it created a really warm feeling, which I think was the gambit here. And it worked for me.
I have a quick comment about that, which is either one of those options sucks. If you give her a 200-year-old heirloom, it's entrapment and manipulative.
Yes.
And if you don't, like the thing that I didn't like about his entrance was, as a new watcher of Bachelor and Bachelorette, is I was like, oh, cool. So within 30 seconds of them meeting, he's lying to her. He's tricking her.
Ooh, a lie. I hadn't even thought of it that way. But a couple of the notable entrances could be read that way, because the next one I was going to bring up is Andrew's, where he affects I thought, pretty rough British accent and is like, I'm here from across the pond and wouldn't, but I'm here now with you. Mine is even worse than his. And she's like, oh, great. Thank you for being here. And then he's like,
clearly clocks
I'm actually
him.
From
she's
Chicago.
Like, you obviously are American.
Well, and then she's like, well, I could tell that you weren't actually from England because of COVID, but he does live and work in Austria, right?
Yes.
Maybe did before the pandemic, and they're still just saying that he does.
That's interesting. I'll have to do some research on
I wonder if he was living back in the States during COVID.
Possibly.
That's a good question. I wouldn't be surprised if he at least had like come back to be vaccinated.
The lying. That's what I thought of his too. I was like, this is dumb. Like back to back, they're showing on national television, oh, like part of men's flirting with women, with the she's all that women, is lying, like tricking and lying.
But there's immediate disclosure.
Yes, but the way that they first met, like still the first impression is flirting via deception.
Interesting.
That's interesting. I felt warmer. I thought it worked better with Michael for me than with the accent.
Well, I just find the accent a little cringy personally, but I think Katie found them both playful, and Katie really responds to playfulness. She responded really well to some playful openings that I would not have been into, like the blow-up doll. Who brings the blow-up doll?
Oh, God, who was that?
What's his name?
Oh,
was that
Cody.
The RV? It wasn't the RV guy.
It was Cody.
No.
Cody stays.
I was conflating Cody and Jeff.
He says...
Because they're both creepy.
He says, there's been someone who's been helping me through these hard times. We've been intimate. She's been a shoulder to cry on. We spent a lot of time together. She's in the limo right now. And he goes to get her. And Katie looks like baffled, but she's got to know it's going to be some sort of sex toy because she did the same thing. And you always get your own entrance turned back on you by at least one person if you become the lead. And he gets a blow-up doll, a very cheap-looking one, I have to say.
Yeah, I was like, this does not look like a... You didn't invest in this one, buddy.
I don't believe that this blow-up doll would have held up to many months of intimacy.
No, I recently watched Made for Love, and so that's, like, all I could think about. It was, like, Ray Romano's relationship with the sex doll in that show.
Yeah. And then I felt guilty for, I was like, there's nothing wrong with Cody seeking intimacy. And so, and I was like, Claire, stop it. This is a pickup line.
This is a joke.
This isn't real. But Katie seems into this. Like, she's like, I see what you did there. And there are a lot of guys who come out and make sort of sexual jokes.
She seems to appreciate effort. She's like, I like that you thought about this, even if it's terrible.
But
except for the RV. The RV, like, definitively does not work on her.
I don't think it would work on anyone.
She was, like, actually repelled by it.
I was surprised because to this point, when she made the negative comment about the RV later, Jeff, the skin salesman from Jersey City, comes out in the RV and he's like, home is where the heart is, so I drove my home here. She doesn't love the RV. She's responded positively to, like, everything else. She's like, I love it when they really make an effort. I love it when they don't. I love it when they're like, I'm so nervous.
Maybe
I love it when,
like,
they have a perfect
speech.
She
didn't like his face. And then he also had the RV. So therefore, like, the RV didn't work because she didn't like his face.
We all have
but
our
guys,
thing we don't like.
The RV is inherently, like, predatory. I don't know. Maybe I'm a wet blanket. But the RV really – it when that happened, I was like, bah!
Well, also later in the episode when he brings her inside and it's, like, dirty. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Any other entrances? Mike, the Christian baseball-playing virgin, stood out to me only in as much as he used some of that very classic, like, evangelical language of, like, I need to know your heart.
Yeah.
And you always know. That's, like, the biggest tell.
If a guy says that to me, I'm like, you go to a Bible church.
I want to know your heart. It's, like, evangelical, just, like, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. The rest of us don't have hearts. And
that's right.
We certainly don't talk about them. I think that's all of the ones that really stood out to me. Except for James, who arrives in a box. Ugh. We didn't talk about the box.
He's in that box for a really long time.
He's like, I wanted to be present for you. Ugh. Get it? I'm waiting.
So therefore, I'll be staying in here for another 7 hours.
So he stays in, and the idea is she has to come get, and which is, I think this is kind of smart, actually. It ensures, in theory, it should ensure that they actually have a conversation inside, which is when you really want the FaceTime. And this is something that happens. Like, she does eventually come find him, but it seems like he had to hang out through a long portion of the cocktail
hours. Like, that does not... I was surprised that when he finally emerged, he wasn't just, like, completely sweated through his suit because like the airflow. When he got out, he was also the airflow.
He was also all smug. I don't know. He like popped out of the box, adjusted his suit, and he presented himself like, "Can you believe that I look like this?
It's a hunk in a box."
And I was like, "Oh God, this is repulsive."
Yeah. And he's really setting himself up for dick in the box comments. Like, I'm just predisposed to think, like, well, is he a dick? Like, I don't know. It would be really convenient for my little dated SNL joke if he was. He has a very Wolf of Wall Street vibe when it's very, like, the slicked back hair.
He really does. Wow.
Three-piece suit. But so all the guys arrive. Katie comes in. She's like, I didn't want to do a perfect practice speech because that's not who I am. It's not who I want you to be. And then she proceeds to give a speech that is about as polished as they usually are because she's just a natural speaker, I guess. She's like, I'm here because I believe in this. I hope you do as well. Be yourself. Step out of your comfort zone. Toast to love. And we're off. She sits down with Andrew first. And the whole conversation ends up being about how insecure he is now that his accent is bad because she insists that she knew that it wasn't real.
He was like appalled. He's like, should I do it again? Should I work on it? Like, he was like, I swear, it used to be better. I've been out of practice. Like,
he was like, I was so nervous. Normally, it's a perfect Queen's English. I don't know what happened. And she's like, oh, can I get to know you in some way? And he's like, just tell me straight. Are you sure that you could tell? Because I felt like I nailed it.
What does he do for a living? I forget.
He's a football player.
Oh, he is the football player. It's like, that moment was really funny to me because I was like, get this boy an acting coach. Like, pro athlete turned Bridgerton star. It felt like he was auditioning and I was like, he needs a URP accent coach ASAP.
Yes. Listen, that could be an outcome for him from this. And I think that I'd rather hear his accent in that context. She has a bunch of conversations. Any of them stand out to you guys? Thomas says he felt full of a fire engulfing him when he saw her. And he also simultaneously compares himself to a third grader trying to talk to a cute girl. The way that third graders are full of a fire that will overtake them if they can't possess the third grade girl.
Yes, very, very normal for like a 9-year-old. He gave me some odd energy. Like he seemed to be already getting like agitated by, you know, the first impression rose and not being picked. And I was like, oh,
he's latching on really hard.
He's like, this guy is gonna lose his mind. Like he's clearly someone that the production can be like, we can break you, sir.
Yeah, he seems a little unstable. Break you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Poor dear.
We gotta talk about Marty and his rocks.
Oh my God.
He's got a little sack of stones.
Sweet little Marty.
So sweet.
Little Marty brought his rock collection. It unfortunately didn't work. It didn't work for him, but I know, respect.
I feel like if you're sitting down on a first date and you're just like, anyway, here's my little stack of stones. That's sodalite. That's pyrite. You know, you gotta be a little
so sweet.
Find a more
awkward,
engaging way to work the stones into your small talk.
He was like,
you know?
No, you just name them.
It's show and tell.
You just name them, just a list. It was
big
very
show
and tell
energy.
It's so sweet. It reminds me of like my godson who's 9, who literally is like, this is a Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is an Octagonian Gukaka. I don't know. Like, he knows all the dinosaur names.
No, exactly. It really is the way that like children present.
So earnest.
Like, this is the thing I know. I'm going to tell it to you.
Exactly.
I thought that her conversation with Greg obviously went really well. Like, again, he got like an extensive
moment
with her. They talk about family. He makes like an extended joke about his niece who makes a very exclusive necklaces.
Out of pasta.
Turned out to be pasta necklaces. I thought it was cute.
So cute.
And
I love his
really
offering.
Worked. It really worked for Katie. She was like very into it.
Yeah. He makes a joke too. He's like, I normally wouldn't give a gift on the first date. And Katie's like, is this a date? And he's like, I think it is a date. And the camera like is lingering on their hands, like meeting on their crossed knees. And but then it sort of ends with him being like, I'm just really nervous and like, I want to be myself and be present with you. But like, it's just hard because I'm like so nervous. And this is just catnip for Katie. She's like, I love that. That's so authentic.
She's very thirsty for that authenticity.
Yeah. Trey showed up in a ball pit in the back of a truck. So for their conversation, they like get back in the ball pit.
That was cute. I like Trey has some positive energy. I enjoyed him. He seems like a person that would be like fun to hang out with.
Yeah, he came with some conversation starters about middle names. And
yeah, I liked that. And I like that he prepared. Just like asked her an actual fact about herself.
Yeah, like, you have to be prepared.
Yeah, but he wasn't like, what are your goals for your long-term relationship? He was just like, what's your middle name? Yeah, what's your I don't know.
I feel like lots of the conversations are them sitting down and either being like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. I really want to use this time, but I just don't know what to do. And she's like, okay. Or it's someone sitting down and being like, I have to show you something. It's my stones.
Or this painting I made for you. Or this fan art I had commissioned for you. Yeah, he was just like, yeah, what's your middle name? Yeah, cool. This is fun. Great story. Like, it was a sweet exchange.
Justin did indeed make her art with roses, but there's no Katie in it. It's just a heart made of roses with a hole in the center, the hole in his heart, maybe the final rose, will complete this painting and this heart at the same time, one petal at a time, one foot in front of the other. But in the end, they've got a complete rose and complete heart.
Look, Justin is earnest, okay?
Yeah,
He kind of goes on this, like, this he sweeps her up in this artistic rhetoric, and then suddenly he's sweeping aside the decor pillow and he's pulling her into his arms and they make
like
out.
A very intense first kiss. It felt almost like, I was like, it's good that she's attracted to him because there wasn't a lot of like waiting for her to be like, yes, I would like to make out with you.
I didn't see a bunch of consent. Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like not, old it was Hollywood not really, movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Where the men just take the women and,
yeah.
And then the woman is like limp and she's like, oh.
She's like, I guess. Okay. Yeah. It was a little uncomfy. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. A little low on the back and forth, the mutuality of seduction. This is when Jeff, the skin salesman with the RV.
Skin salesman. I mean, you can't really get past that.
But is he selling skin? Like,
yes.
Is he
like
selling
surgical
skin?
Like
surgical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so scary. It's
so really scary when you say it. And then he brings her to this van and has like the saddest vegetable platter I've
ever
seen.
I wanted to preface this the way Jeff did, which is by saying to Katie, normally you shouldn't get into vans with strangers. But tonight, you know, do.
That was
he's
so
like,
upsetting.
I know this is creepy, so I'm going to do a creepy thing. And he's like, here's the saddest crudité platter you've ever seen. I popped by a Key Foods and then popped it into my mini fridge for the whole drive from Jersey. Here it is. I didn't bother to plate any of it.
Also, because this
isn't
RV
this
is
romantic.
So old, the refrigerator doesn't work, so this is approximately 9-day-old crudité.
Yes.
And it does
and
have
he's
mold
like,
on
oh,
it.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about the dirty boxers of mine that are like on this very lived-in, like, brown couch. None of it was sexy. No.
Katie was not at all a
she
fan.
She couldn't even pretend. She was like, no, this didn't work for me.
Jeff is like, Katie is such a cool girl. I think she'd be just as happy in an RV or a palace. Cut to Katie being like, I absolutely would not be happy in this RV. A palace, maybe. RV, no. I mean, there's something about this move that I'm like, if Jeff, they could have made this seem charming, but you got to be thinking if you're Katie, like, this is his big move. That means he thinks putting any effort into hosting on a date is a lot. Like, this guy's really proud of himself for having
like,
a plastic tray of veggies.
He didn't even clean up.
Yeah,
he's
that
like,
doesn't
I gotta,
bode well.
It doesn't bode well.
Outside, meanwhile, Cody and Aaron are in the middle of a fight. That is completely context-free.
Yeah, nothing about. I did read on Twitter that, like, apparently, I guess they knew each other before. But
they
it's
must.
Unclear in
because
what
are they fighting about?
It makes no sense. It's also, like, it's not really a fight. Cody is sort of just like receiving all of this. And Aaron, who's clearly drunk, is like, I've never liked you. It's not my fault. I just don't like you. I don't like your face. And Cody's just like, oh, well, that kind of is your fault. That if you're like, you're yelling at me.
I mean, it's clear.
It made no sense.
It's clear that it must be pre-existing beef because you don't say I've never liked you to someone you met 30 minutes ago. But I have never seen them put so little attention toward contextualizing such a fight.
I know. I was like, are they just
then planning? They never address it again. And I'm sure that they will in the future. But yeah. Like this episode is all we have so far. There's no lead up to that. There's no context of them talking to other people about it.
Yeah. Normally you would see one of the dudes confide in the other one and be like, oh, that guy is like a bad dude. I know him from back home or something right. like that. Or like, yeah. I've heard bad stuff about him. But there was just nothing. I think they were like, eh, whatever. These guys aren't that consequential. We'll bring this back in another episode.
Yeah, I think they're doing a little tease for later, but meanwhile James emerges from the box. What I love about James's emergence from the box is the way that all the other guys immediately fall into one of my favorite insane Bachelor world dynamics, which is, how dare this person potentially get a rose? I met the lead 30 minutes before he did. It's not fair. I've been putting in the time. I said hi to her outside. I've been visible. And now he's just going to get a rose?
After it's, you know what,
man? Hold me back. Hold me back, bro. It's not okay. Like, I was like, are you all just got here tonight. You can't already be mad that someone else got here too late to get
Look,
a rose.
It just really riling them up for when Blake Moynes eventually joins and then they all like legitimately furious.
Dreading that.
Yeah, big time. The first impression rose is here. Do the guys want it? Yeah, they want the first impression rose. Like, it would be validation. It would make them feel really good. It would be a good sign for the future. A lot of explanations, but I think we can all safely agree they do want it. And before we get to the awarding of the first impression rose, we are going to take another quick break. We'll be back in a minute with more from Katie's premiere.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit.
1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit. And I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now, back to the pod. Let's get into this first impression rose reveal.
Yeah, so Katie has had a couple good interactions. There was Greg. She also had a sit down with Connor B, the cat, that I personally was left completely cold by, but that really worked for Katie. She's like, I can't stop thinking about you. He's there in his little furry paws and his whiskers.
They're playing like the giant floor keyboard together, which really gave me you know, Tom Hanks in Big energy, the most iconic floor keyboard scene.
It is so theater kid. It's like we're playing music together on the floor and dancing.
Oh my God, Claire, that's so funny.
And they make out and his whiskers smear all over her face.
But also, that was an intense makeout. That was like,
so, oh my God, it was so intense.
It was uncalled for.
I agree. I was like, I shouldn't be watching this.
No,
upset.
It just goes to show that sometimes, you know, a couple has chemistry, but it just other people can't see it. And sometimes you can see it, and that's how you cast a good romance. But just because two people feel chemistry doesn't mean that it like radiates off the screen in some sort of way where you're like, and now of course they're going to passionately make out. Instead, you're just like, what are they doing? But they make out, they take a breath, they go back in for more. They're just like, I don't care. Get the whiskers everywhere on my face. Like, that's what I'm here for, to get dirty.
Katie's into it.
Katie was here for it.
Yeah, she was into it, and I was like, she's following her bliss. It's okay.
Yeah, that's what this is about.
I want Katie to be happy. This seemed like a very mutual and consensual make out.
I just thought of what this was reminding me of, and it is, of course, the scene in Zoolander where the journalist love interest makes out with Derek Zoolander while he's in his derelict makeup, and it gets dark makeup all over her mouth. Not intended to be the most sexy scene.
Just a lot of callbacks.
Pop culture callbacks.
Pop culture references. And then we see Mike try to bond with
Michael,
Katie.
Michael,
not to be confused with the virgin baseball player. Right. Michael from Akron, Ohio, who tries to bond with Katie over the fact that they both have pets named Tommy. But the actual takeaway, more than that, is that he reveals that he has a 4-year-old son back home. He's a single dad.
Yeah.
He's like, look, I'm
softening her up with the fur baby.
Yeah,
and then he's I have an actual baby.
And he's like, I think you'd be an amazing mom. And he asks, like, is that something that you would be interested? And this moment felt really notable to me, which, look, the bar is very low, but we have had never before, I think, heard a lead say that, like, she would be open to not having kids and that she wasn't sure if that was something she wanted and that she was sort of, like, ambivalent about it.
She makes it sound sort of like it's dependent on the relationship
on the partner
she's in, rather than, like, not being sure what she wants. She's sort of like, you know, like,
I could go either way, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah. She's like,
I could have kids if that's something my partner feels really, like, strongly about. I could be a step-parent. I would also be open to not having kids if that wasn't something that my partner wanted. And this is a show that is really, like, tends to be very prescriptive about what, like, heterosexual coupledom looks like. And it's like you meet, you get engaged, you get married, you pop out a bunch of kids, as many as physically possible. And again, of course, there's like nothing wrong with wanting a lot of kids. That's wonderful and beautiful, and you should do what you want. But there isn't a lot of representation for the idea that a woman might like really want a life partner and be unsure about having kids or not desire kids at all or desire to like be a parent but not want to have biological children. And I thought that just even like having her mention that was really cool. And I frankly like related to her sort of ambivalence and like openness to different ways that her like potential parenting journey could occur. And I
really loved that too. I thought it was very refreshing and important to have, and maybe even aspirational to have that kind of, forgive me, but like representation on a show this mainstream.
Yeah.
Because yeah, it's this show is so for normie. And yes. Like people like don't, I don't know. I didn't think I wanted kids until I like met Hannah, and Hannah's the only person I'd want to raise kids with.
Aww. Right. And I think for a lot of people that your feeling about children does change potentially mm-hmm. based on the partner that you have. And as I've gotten older, I've definitely found myself feeling that way of like, cause I spent a lot of my, you know, most of my 20s single, and I very much like came to the conclusion that I didn't want to have a child on my own. And then I was like, well, if I meet someone, then like, yeah, I'll see how they feel about it. Right. And so I really related to Katie's feeling of like, yeah, I'll see what my partner wants and then we'll make a decision on that together. And I could go either way. Yeah, and it was just cool to see.
It's interesting.
How old is she again?
She's 30.
I really dated like a bachelor person. Like I was like, I'm in my early 20s. I definitely want kids. I gotta just like find someone who wants kids like as quickly as possible. And it puts a lot of pressure on dating, I have to say, although it worked out. But the interesting thing really is that I don't think that's necessarily always how things actually go for bachelorettes when they leave the show. Like it's almost like a sort of bachelor expectation, a trope, a script that you want a bunch of kids. But how many bachelorettes leave the show and just like race to get married and start having kids? Not very many. Like a lot of them are pivoting into these newly very successful public facing careers, and like they have a long engagement, or you know, they just want to enjoy life with their partner. And so we see, I think, actually a lot of bachelorettes not necessarily having kids on an accelerated timeline, but it's part of like the heteronormative expectation of the role that you'll be like, well, of course I want a bunch of kids.
Right. You at least need to like make it very clear that that's your goal. Even if that's not actually like the path your life takes immediately off of the show, within the bounds of the show, it's like there is a real performance to being like, of course, I'm going to be the most amazing mother. I need to find a man who's going to be the most amazing dad. And again, this is like certainly not to denigrate anyone who wants children, knows they want children, or prioritizes that in their dating life. It's just like people are different and people have different priorities and desires. And it's nice to see those things just shown, because that's like a part of dating, is that you ask those questions and you get different answers from different people.
Right. Yeah. After that conversation, it's time for Katie to hand out the first impression rose. She sweeps into the room where it's hanging out and picks up the rose and leaves again, abandoning all these poor men who are hoping for it, and finds Greg in another room.
He's actually not in another room. He's outside, gathered around a fire pit.
Oh, excuse me.
Tightly huddled with like 10 of the other men for the camera.
In a neat semicircle, especially for the cam.
A classic bachelor shape. And she thanks him for opening up despite his nerves. And she's like, I hope this gives you some validation. This is the earliest validation rose I can ever remember. Like, usually the first impression rose is just like, I'm so attracted to your raw sexuality and your rhomboid shaped head. And I just, we'll see if there's anything to this crazy thing. And with Greg, she's just like, you're so sweet. I want you to like feel good.
do you feel good now? And he's like, I do feel good.
And then they aggressively make out.
There's a lot of aggressive making out. And you Katie know what? That's what Katie wants. And I want that for her. You get it, girl. Okay.
She is, and you know what? She is getting it.
She is getting it.
She really dove in for that one, too. Like, she was like, I'm giving the rose, and now I'm taking the kiss.
Make out.
Yeah, she's into Greg, and I think that there's something that that appeals to her about the fact that he is sort of bashful and dopey, and that
he's also very cute.
He's also very cute. I, like, said last night, I think I tweeted, I was like, this is, like, fully a guy that he's, like, attainable hot. Like, I would have, like, matched with him on OkCupid back in the day and been like really excited that we matched. Then we probably would have like gone on 2 dates and then he would have like dumped me over text. But like for those 2 dates, I would have been very excited.
He's definitely someone that I would have like messaged on OkCupid because I would be like, this is within my league. Like I could get this guy and then he would never have written me back. And I would have been like, never mind.
Claire, that's not true.
Online dating was not friendly to me, guys.
Look, it's Greg would have liked rough. You. Definitely rough.
Greg well, fortunately, I met another Greg not on OkCupid.
From New Jersey. Or not from New Jersey. Sorry. Who lives in New Jersey. Yes. I keep saying like from Jersey because Greg lives in – you and Greg both live in New Jersey now. But sorry, Greg is from New York. He's a Queens boy.
But yes, he is very cute in a way that seems like you might meet him at a barbecue or a Midtown bar.
And I'm into that. So I understand why Katie is also into that. And the fact that he's like doesn't know his own hotness is also – nice. And she's like, let me validate you.
Yeah. She definitely used to
have
at a
that
certain
power.
Point in the episode being like, opposites maybe do attract. And like, I'm so loud and like brash and maybe a quiet, shy guy is what I need. So sweet. And now it is time for the rose ceremony. Caitlin and Tayshia emerge to do the structuring of the rose ceremony. Katie comes out and is like, I take this very seriously. And she begins to hand out the roses, which go to Trey, Michael A., Thomas, Garrett, Connor B., Andrew S.
The cat.
Meow.
And Andrew S. is, of course, the
British accent.
James, Justin, Courtney, Carl, Mike P., John, Andrew M, Josh, Connor C, Brendan, David, Aaron, Christian, Hunter, and it's the final rose. Tayshia and Caitlin tell us who's it going to be. It's Cody, which means that
which
the
means
Cody,
the fight.
Yes, and Aaron feud can
live
can
to see
blossom.
Day.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Going home, Austin, Brandon, Jeff, Gabriel. Marty, Landon, Marcus. I keep looking at all these names and being like, am I having a stroke? Like I just can't even process them.
I know it's so hard. We need so many more Chirons. Like literally my notes for who's going home just say emo hair guy, Brandon, ?
Yes.
Bad facial hair guy, RV guy who sells skin, rock collection guy. Like that's how my notes went. I was like, I don't know a single one of these guys' names, but I know that they like have facial hair and rocks. That's what I know.
You never need to know them now. They're gone. They're in the past. And
I'm sad about Marty, though.
It wasn't.
Maybe Marty will show up in paradise or something.
Little earnest Marty.
Yeah. We got to, you know, it's the Bachelor in Paradise casting can be responsive to fan campaigns. So.
Oh, okay. I can start.
Yeah. Just get on Twitter, Molly, start like hashtag justice. For Marty and his rocks.
Every time someone does something bad, you have to tweet like, you know who would never turn out to have a secret wife that he's hiding from Katie, and then it's a picture of Marty.
Cute.
Oh yeah, it's a great Bachelor tweet structure.
Yeah.
And then we sort of like wrap up the meat of the episode early. This was a very like tight premiere. And then we get an extended teaser, but first, of course, several Good Doctor promos. Just the show that I know the most about, having never watched it, because it's always coming on after The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. And the Good Doctor has so many girlfriends, and they're all very sad.
They're always
and he's
sad.
Always trying to learn to make them less sad.
It's never his fault, though.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to deal with his emotions.
Or maybe he does know better than anyone, because maybe. He He's actually the good boyfriend.
He does have so many girlfriends. My friend Noah is on that show now. I want to watch it because Noah's
amazing. Oh, well, ask you can let us know. I'm just always texting Claire being like, I'm confused. Why does this 12-year-old looking good doctor always have a new girlfriend? Like, every woman wants to fuck this guy. And I'm like very confused.
And they're all trying to teach him.
Yeah, they all have something to teach him. And he's not learning because it's been many seasons and they're still sad. I don't know.
Well, so I did do a little bit of digging. And I think that she's sad because they had a miscarriage in a previous episode.
Oh.
How could you be so insensitive towards this fictional miscarriage?
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Don't. Wow, I apologize.
We are sorry.
Yeah, that was horrible of me.
But I'm just impressed that he's not currently suspended from the hospital for being too good at being a doctor, because that's his usual storyline. And then we wrap up with a long teaser.
There is pickup trucks, shirtless men, sex positivity, like more sex positivity.
Tons of crying, tons of screaming,
a lot of tears,
sobbing.
Everyone's leaving her. She's alone. This is all
falling
apart.
I love a good man tear. Just give me all of these straight men crying. It's really like medicine to me.
You're going to have a lot of good times.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited. A lot to look forward to. There's mud wrestling. Nick Vile is there. He shows up.
Someone apparently gets whiplash being tackled while playing a ball-based sport.
Apparently, some people are there not for love.
No.
Oh, okay. No way.
There. Someone has bad intentions.
It seems like maybe more than one person.
I know.
She's losing everyone. She's heartbroken. She's done. Get her a plane ticket right now.
Look, I love that moment. I love a Katie like crying
season,
like, I am done. I am done. Book me a plane ticket while I wander off into the New Mexican resort.
That's right.
I will storm off back to my hotel room.
Also, the more I did take note of the, there were more close-ups of that boy's cross necklace.
Oh, yeah. Well,
oh, yes.
Because his cross necklace comes between her and Mike, like his cross necklace.
He's crying a lot.
She can't touch it because she's unclean is the problem. So they're trying to get into some sort of intimate situation, but it's like she's burned by the power of Christ. That's a common problem for heathens who try to date profoundly Christian men.
Wow, I haven't experienced that myself. But
you gotta be careful.
Look, as a Jew, I assume I would just like combust if I came upon, you know.
A Christian boy? A Goyisha?
Yeah, a Goyisha with a giant cross. He would.
Yeah. You would spontaneously combust, but not before being called a witch, okay?
Yeah, exactly. He was like, you led to the death of Jesus.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
This is
fun.
Yeah.
So fun. There was some, I'm trying to see like who we got a lot of.
I get the sense that Andrew S. and Greg are both going to be very significant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say the same
Connor
thing.
Connor B.
Connor B's there.
Cat guy sticks around.
Cat guy's there.
We definitely are going to get Christian Mike is going to go like partway through. I feel like he's going to
flame
out midway.
Further than he should, considering they are on a very basic level, fundamentally incompatible.
Yeah, but you know this show loves to torture a virgin.
They're going to be like, don't talk to her about sex on this date.
I'm very excited to find out who's the manipulative evil one who's trying to ruin everyone's life.
Same.
Probably a bunch of them, knowing this
Probably
show.
A bunch
They're going to cycle
and,
through a few.
And, of course, we see everyone getting very angry at Blake Moyne's return. And Katie seems into Blake Moynes, which is
Who
so
is
confusing
Blake
to me. He's the one with the really bad, like...
He was on Tayshia's season.
Facial hair. And he comes... Okay. Yeah, he was on Tayshia and Claire's season. He was very into Claire.
And he pulls
I only watched
say anything.
Claire's season up until her leaving with Dale.
With Dale, yeah.
Okay.
Blake was the other one that was very into her. And he was like, I did research on you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's vaguely creepy, but okay.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was.
So I think we have to wrap up the recap there because we're literally out of things to recap. Molly, this has been so fun. I'm glad we could make this happen. And hopefully the episode will actually see the light of day this time.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. You're both delights.
We adore you, and please, please come back anytime. Now it's time for Love to See It, Hate to See It, a segment where we pick one moment we actually loved and one we kind of hated from this week's episode and rate them from 1 to 5.
So 5 means we just really genuinely powerfully loved or hated this moment. And 1 means like, we had a feeling. My Love to See It moment this episode was Tayshia and Caitlin just like fully gassing Katie up and giggling with her about all the cute guys, exchanging glances across the driveway. Where's this girl gang energy been all the Bachelorette's life? This is so much better than Chris Harrison just like looming in to escort her to her new husband. I love it. 5 out of 5.
Mine is Katie acknowledging that she'd be perfectly down not to have kids. As we talked about earlier, this is a first for the show, and I just found her like openness and ambivalence to be really relatable and cool to see represented. So I'm also going to give this a 5 out of 5 because I think this really mattered to a lot of women who are watching.
My hate to see it moment is going to be Aaron yelling at Cody that he hates him and has always hated him without any context. We have no idea what's going on here. It's just sort of context-free drama. I am going to give this a 1 because I kind of loved this, actually. I can't lie. I'm of two minds about this.
And mine is Jeff, the skin salesman, trying to romance Katie in his dirty RV with a vegetable platter, like straight off the shelf of a local Key Foods. I think I'm going to give this one like a 3 out of 5 because it did give good TV, but it was like genuinely repulsive as well. And that's it for Love to See It with Emma and Claire.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray, and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Sarah Patterson.
Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Celine Chang. Josephine Martirana is our executive producer.
If you like the show, please rate 5 stars and leave a review. It really helps other people discover the show.
And if you want to get in touch, you can email us at claireandemmapod@gmail.com and find us on Twitter at @LoveToSeeItPod and on Instagram at @ClaireandEmmaPod. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at @EmmaLadyRose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
We'll be back next week with episode 2 of Katie's season of The Bachelorette. Let the journey continue. Can you keep up? I like
love it. Stitcher.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.